Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. On this episode of Celeb Savant, I'll be speaking to Kevin Simmer. He is an English pop singer. He won The Voice UK on the 9th of April 2016. Sim was in the group Liberty X from 2001 until they split in 2007. And he's currently the lead singer of the group Wet Wet Wet. Wet 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 are a Scottish soft rock band formed in 1982. They scored a number of hits in the UK charts and around the world in the 1980s and 1990s. The band is composed of Graham Clark, Neil Mitchell, and since 2018, lead vocalist and former Liberty X singer Kevin Sim. The band were named Best British Newcomer at the 1988 Brit Awards. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Kevin Sim from Wet Wet Wet. Cool, so this is Celeb Savant, Barrett Edelstein, and today we've got Kevin Sim, who's the lead singer of Wet Wet Wet. How are you? Where do we find you in your world, in the world, and what's happening in your life?
I'm currently just at home, just in my little studio. Unfortunately, it's not been used a great lot recently because we've been so busy out gigging and stuff. But my kids have just finished school now for the summer, so this is like their first day off. So yeah, it's getting real busy at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I can't complain. It's nice, been nice and sunny in the UK recently as well. So just kind of enjoying the summer and enjoying work and being back to work after the pandemic.
Have you guys also had a heat wave?
Yeah, we've had a heat wave. Yeah, but I mean, myself and my wife were in Rome for a couple of days. So we had it there, and it was very, very hot there. But I know back in the UK, it was extremely hot as well.
As well, yeah. Kevin, I'm going to take it all the way back now to the very, very, very beginning of your career in the music industry. So you originally auditioned for, I believe, the talent or the reality show Pop Stars. Tell us more about that and what drove you to do that.
Yeah, I mean, so Pop Stars was like the first talent show, I guess, of its kind in the UK. So it was before the X Factor and mm-hmm. Pop Stars, all those sort of things. Mm. So at the time, none of us knew what it was even about or what it was for. So I was doing a summer season, a job as a singer in Blackpool in the UK. And our boss there had sent us off to do this audition because I was in like a boy band in this summer season. So we went to London to audition for this thing, Pop Stars, no idea what it was or anything like that. But I ended up getting through to the last 10 contestants. And basically they chose five people and they made a band called Hearsay. Mm-hmm. And myself and the other four people that didn't make it into the band, because I didn't make it into Hearsay, we kind of stayed friends. And shortly afterwards, we decided to make our own group, and we called it Liberty X. So yeah, from there on in, we sort of... We had a pretty decent career, mm-hmm. about 7 or 8 years worth of it. Had a number one, won a Brit Award, travelled the world. Unfortunately, not South Africa, although we would have loved to do that. Yeah, so we had a really, really good time.
The Liberty X, when you were with Liberty X, tell me more about that. So you wrote your own music, you wrote your own songs. What was that creative process like? How was the collaborative process with you guys as a band?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a misconception, I guess, that all bands, that pop groups, you know, that sing and dance, you know, don't do anything else. They're just, you know, manufactured. And a lot of people would still call us you're a manufactured band, but we weren't really, because we kind of... took it upon ourselves and decided, you know, let's be a band. Our circumstances were slightly different because we met on a TV show, but from then on in, it wasn't like that. So when we went to, we had lots of people, that lots of record labels that wanted to sign us, and some of them were just of the opinion that they would get songwriters in to write all the songs and stuff like that, and we'd kind of just be the puppets, I guess. But then we found a record company in V2, which is with Richard Branson, mm-hmm. and they really bought into us doing our own stuff. And we'd actually gone to V2 with about five songs that we'd written, because we got in the studio sort of afterwards. So from then on in, it became like, yeah, we wrote the majority of our own songs. There were obviously a few, just a little unfortunately we didn't write, but we were very fortunate for that one to come our way. But if you kind of went through the albums, 95% I'd say was written by ourselves. And, you know, and obviously with it being five singers writing, and for a lot of us, probably our first taste of songwriting, you know, we kind of, there were times where we'd all write as a five together. There were times where one of us would go off and do writing sessions on our own with people and collaborate with other co-writers and producers. And there were times where we'd sort of split into little groups and kind of just happen like that, really, I suppose. You know, it's difficult to write as five people, I think. That's kind of always been a bit too much for me personally. I prefer just working with, you know, maybe one other person, maybe two at the most. But it kind of worked out for us, you know what I mean, the way it worked, and everyone was generally happy with what we sort of put on the albums. We were quite democratic as a band. We didn't really fall out a great lot and stuff like that. So yeah, that's kind of how it worked, I guess.
And I must tell you, I love your band, Liberty X's music. I've got all your CDs in my collection on my wall, so they're really cool tracks, really cool CDs, really cool music. Are you still in touch with the guys from Liberty X?
Yeah, I'm still in touch with the guys. Probably not as much as we'd all like to be, but obviously we've all got children now. We've all got our own lives. I kind of moved up to the other side of the UK once I got married and had kids, and back up to where I'm from, whereas the rest of the guys are more sort of down London, which is quite far from me. But yeah, you know, we keep in touch a lot through, like, you know, Instagram and stuff like that. And now and again, I speak to Michelle and Tony and the other girls. You know, it's kind of, that's the relationship we sort of have at the moment. And the girls, actually, they go out as the three girls, and they gig around the UK and stuff. So yeah, so it was never like we all fell out and decided not to be a band. We kind of stayed friends. But like you say, you know, life kind of gets in the way of a lot of things. My best friend from school, who I've been best friends for 30 years, lives maybe 10 minutes from me. I'm not even 10 minutes, and we might see each other 3-4 times a year. Okay. Because you're just busy with life, aren't you? So, but yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we're all good friends, and we all. You know, communicate in one way or the other, you know.
What happens now is that life has happened so quickly, or is happening so quickly. You think, oh my word, okay, it's morning, afternoon, it's Monday, it's Friday, it's weekend, it's week, it's month, and then 6 months have gone down the line. It's like, where's it all gone? What's happened?
It does. That's how it feels. And I think especially when you throw children into the mix as well, because I mean, my children, I've got two boys, they're 8 and 10, their kind of life is in, like, with sporting activities, all these things that come after school just completely take over all of our lives. Do you know what I mean? We kind of live around their schedule now. Yep. So you've got school, and then you've got all this other stuff. So, like, say, all you think about, right, we've got this on Monday, we've got this on Tuesday, and then the weekend comes and it's like, where did that all go?
Moving on to the next phase. So you then, Liberty X, you guys went your separate ways, and then you were doing more solo stuff, and then you entered The Voice UK. What prompted you to do that?
You know, there was quite a big gap between sort of the end of Liberty X and The Voice, and between that sort of time, you know, I'd had a few disappointments and stuff, like with record companies, you know, trying to do my own stuff and just being messed about and doing some really bad gigs and stuff. And, you know, and I guess it had come to the point really where I was 35 or something, and I was thinking, well, what is this it now for me for the rest of my life? Am I just going to be doing these gigs that I really don't enjoy and all this sort of stuff, you know? And I've got a young family, you know, I need to do something. I need to put myself back out there again. And I kind of struggled with my confidence a little bit as well. And I kind of thought, am I actually any good? You know, am I any good? And so I thought, well, the only way to find out is to go on something like The Voice, you know, and maybe that'll give me some sort of a profile, you know, if I do all right. But I genuinely, like, originally went on The Voice just with a small goal, I guess, which was to try and get through the blind auditions at the beginning, you know, try and get a turn. And then I thought, if that happens, then that'll be enough for me. Do you know what I mean? It will prove to myself that I chose the right thing all those years ago to be a singer. And hopefully it'll just get me some better gigs. But luckily for me, I went on to win the whole thing, so that was cool.
That process, how long is actually the process of the voice? Is it, you know, we see it in stages or on the television, but how long is the filming process and that whole mechanism behind the scenes? What is that like?
I mean, the whole filming process, I can't even think, if I'm honest. I mean, it must be at least a good sort of 5 or 6 months,
okay,
maybe slightly less, but it's hard to think back now. But obviously it's kind of in stages, you know, from the very, very first auditions where no one ever sees anything,
yep,
you know, because they're not televised, to the blind audition, to meeting up with your team and all that. Once you've gone with the team, then the battles, and then because that's all pre-recorded. Oh, and then you've got the next one after the battles, which is pre-recorded. And then you've got the live shows, which I think they lasted about just over two weeks, maybe. So it's quite a long process, but personally, I actually really enjoyed the whole experience, because I didn't, at least in the, you know, after I got my first, you know, the turns in the blind audition, I mean, that was the scariest experience of my life, but at the same time, probably the most exhilarating, mm-hmm, you know, once I'd got the turns and stuff. So I kind of just really enjoyed it all, you know, because I thought, well, you know, I'm older than most of the contestants and stuff there. There's probably not a great chance that I'm going to win it, so I'm just going to try and enjoy it. So,
yeah.
So I enjoyed it. You know, the people that worked on the show were really, really, really lovely and nice. It wasn't like you hear horror stories about TV shows. It was just a really good experience, to be quite honest. I mean, but I would say that because I went on to win it. You know what I mean? So I didn't really have any bad experiences on there.
And did the experience help you with your confidence that, I mean, naturally must have, but did it, that confidence that you were lacking pre to joining, did it give you that boost to realize, okay, cool, I'm on the right path, I'm doing the right thing, and give you that extra stamina to keep pushing further?
Yeah, I definitely think it did. I think there's no doubt, yeah, I learned a few sort of lessons during that time, you know. I kind of, like, before then, I think I'd maybe, like, look back too much on negative things that happened in my career and stuff, rather than just focusing on going forward and focusing on the fact that those negative things had sort of brought me to where I was, you know. And I've had a very, like, I'm very lucky, you know, I've had a great career, you know, when some people wouldn't experience half of what I have. And, you know, I guess I sort of learned to be grateful for that, rather than think, well, why is this not happening for me now? Do you know what I mean? So, so now, definitely, if I start feeling like self-conscious or doubting myself, I can look back into those sort of lessons that I learned and drag myself out of it. Whereas sort of before, I kind of just let it get to me. But yeah, I totally feel it's hard not to get your confidence back when you have that, like, an outpour, when you're on such a big show. And of course, you always, with social media and things like that these days, you're always going to get some horrible people who just want to go on social media just to be horrible to people. But the, you know, 99% of the comments and stuff that came from The Voice and things now, you know, people follow me and comment on stuff that I do, you know, it's hard. You'd have to be really silly not to take some positivity from that. So yeah.
So it's interesting, because I totally get what you say, because often we get all this positivity, but that sort of, I always see that picture of the cartoon with the devil on the shoulder and the angel, but the devil on the shoulder sometimes is a little bit louder than the angel. And that negativity, that one little negativity or that one little experience overrides all the positivity. And when we focus on that negativity, it allows it to manifest even more and more and more, because we get into that mindset and then we keep creating that same thing over and over again. And your opinion, because obviously when you started out, social media wasn't a thing. What is your thoughts around social media and the presence that it has in our lives currently?
I'll be honest, I'm just really not sure about it all, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because there's sides to it that I really, really enjoy and like, you know, but then there's sides that I just think are just so damaging and terrible for people, you know. And I think more so recently, I sort of think I always felt like Instagram, for example, was like a really, really good platform, because it's just putting nice pictures on there and stuff. And, you know, generally, you know, people just seemed a lot nicer on Instagram than on Twitter, for real. But then it's kind of like got to the point now where Instagram, you don't even see people that you follow anymore. You just get suggestions and it's all stuff that you never even asked for in the first place. So now I'm kind of thinking, well, what is the point in it at all? You know, I don't want to be sort of fed all these things that I think that the algorithms think that I'm going to like. So I kind of feel like, where is it going? It's like kind of a little bit scary. I was enjoying it when I was seeing what people that I'm interested in following were posting and stuff. Whereas now it just seems you're just scrolling through it, but you still can't help yourself scrolling through all this stuff that you didn't ask for. And so you know, I think there's a lot of positive things. Obviously, like as a singer and as a member of a band, it's a positive thing that, you know, you can get things out to people and they can see them, and you don't have to pay to promote loads of stuff. You can do all that sort of stuff, and you can put videos of you singing and stuff and things like that, and it keeps you in maybe people's consciences to a certain extent. But yeah, I mean, but it's a dangerous place at the same time. You know, I've come across a lot of like nasty people, and people trying to like impersonate me as you know, with fake accounts and stuff, and me hearing from people that they've been messaging girls asking for detail, you know, things like that, where I think, well, who is this person, and what are their motives, you know? It's real, it's kind of scary, you know, things like that. So yeah, I mean, I'm still sort of on the fence with it, to be honest. I mean, but I do have an Instagram account, a Facebook account, and a Twitter account, and I guess, like, as much as I'd love to just come off them all and sack it off, I kind of don't really, because it's kind of for my job.
Yeah,
it's bizarre, really.
You're right. I've been on TikTok, and the amount of artists who've been messaging me, you know, it's not them, because obviously you guys have the blue tick, but then like an impersonator of that person will message me and say, oh, it's so and so, thank you so much for loving my music, thank you so much for listening. I'm like, but I can see it's not you, you know, it's not that person. So, and then they carry on talking. I'm just like, ah, whatever. But yeah, the thing is that other people, they don't realize that it's not the other person. I don't know how not, but they still don't.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's, like I say, there's some strange people in this world who maybe usually would just kind of keep to themselves, but I guess it gives them, I guess, sort of like, you know, these platforms give them kind of like a voice to really sort of do what the hell they want, really. And that's kind of the, you know, one of the drawbacks, I think, of social media. But like I say, you know, there's some extremely positive, like, things that have come out of social media as well, you know, with some amazing, like, humanitarian things and fundraising and things like that. You know, some real sort of amazing stories that have come out of it. So that's why I would kind of say, like, you know, I don't completely denounce it. I just think it's to be used with caution, you know, maybe.
You won The Voice. How did you meet the guys from Wet Wet Wet? What was the next step in the phase of your journey?
I guess, like, my career's kind of, like, gone a bit like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had some ups and then some downs and then some ups and downs. And I'd say, like, after The Voice, I kind of was on another down. Do you know what I mean? It was, unfortunately, no one from The Voice UK, as far as the people that have won it, have really gone on to be, you know, big pop stars or anything like that. I mean, luckily for me, I'd already been one years and years previous. But you know, it's never quite worked out for one reason or the other. So I was a little bit dejected, to be honest, afterwards. Not because that's what I wanted. It was just, again, treatment by management and record labels and such. And by The Voice, to be honest, because they moved TV channels from the BBC to ITV.
Okay.
So I never got to go back and perform on the show. Like, the winners always go back and promote their records. So I felt like it was a bit of a kick in the teeth. So I kind of went through a little bit of a dark period, and then I started gigging again and doing all that sort of thing. And then maybe 2 years later, after I'd won The Voice, I got an email from Dougie Souness, who is the band's manager, just asking if I fancied having a chat. And it was very vague. That's all it kind of said. And I messaged him back. I was like, sure, what do you want to have a chat about? And he basically just said that the band and Marty Pello had gone the separate ways, but the band wanted to carry on as a band, but they needed a new singer. And, you know, would I be interested in going, meeting the guys, go and sing some songs with them and just see, well, first of all, you know, whether we looked like we could get on with each other and liked each other. And secondly, you know, whether, you know, I enjoyed singing the songs, whether the band liked me singing the songs, whether it all sort of just fit together. So I went to Scotland and I sang with the guys for a couple of hours. We kind of just hit it off straight away and just had a really good fun couple of hours in a rehearsal studio, just belting the songs out. And then when I was on the train on the way home, I got a call from the guys and they were just basically like, we want you in the band, do you want to join? So I was like, yeah, of course, that'd be great. So that's kind of how it all came about, really. And that was, 2018, I think, the back end of 2018. So yeah, that's basically how it happened. It was bizarre, really.
Bizarre in what way? Was it unexpected?
Yeah, bizarre. And yeah, absolutely. Just in the way that I think, like, the majority of time, 99% of the time, for anyone, I suppose, in this sort of industry, whether it be a singer or a dancer or just anyone that kind of wants to work in this industry, the majority of time you're the one looking for things, looking for auditions, looking for opportunities. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one just came completely out of the blue. I was just playing football with my son and I was checking my emails on my phone and it was just there. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. It was just never crossed my mind. So bizarre in that way, really, that it just was something that came to me out of nowhere.
What is it like now singing those iconic songs?
It's great singing the songs. Another thing that was like kind of bizarre is that when I was before Pop Stars, before The Voice, all these things, when I was sort of starting out and doing the pubs and the clubs in Lancashire, I used to sing a couple of Wet 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 songs, so like Goodnight Girl and Love Is All Around. I think they were in my set list for a little while. So bizarre in that way as well, that this band that I'd kind of grown up listening to a little bit had asked me to sort of be their lead singer. Yeah, performing the songs is amazing. I mean, we've got a gig this weekend, a festival. We've done a lot of festivals over the summer. They don't, the songs, they don't fail to get people singing along and get people dancing and whatever else. And, obviously I'm kind of joining the band very late, and you kind of think, although not everyone is very happy about, Marty not being the lead singer of the band, generally, when we do gigs, everyone is just very happy just to hear the songs. So I kind of feel like that's a real blessing to be able to sing all those amazing hit songs that people know, because it makes my job like so easy. I've just got to turn up and sing them.
Do you allow that negativity to come in to your space about people not wanting it to be you and it's because they want Marty, or do you just like, okay, this is what it is, I'm here, let's just experience the music, enjoy it, and let's just go?
I think like in the beginning when I first sort of joined the band, then it was a real sort of split. There were people that were very, really, really happy just that the band were carrying on as a band with me. And then there were some that just were like, if it's not Marty, it's not where. But then I think as time's like gone on, we've certainly proved a lot of people, changed a lot of people's opinions on that. Then there's some people that maybe might turn up to the gig and then come to a gig or whatever, and then might go on social media and say, I thought Marty Pello was like the lead singer. What's going on? But then that just sort of kind of proves to me, we're 4 years down the line since I joined the band. And surely if anyone is a fan of Wet 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 or Marty, they really should know what the lineup is now. Do you know what I mean? Because it's because that just proves to me that they're not really fans of Marty or the band. So yeah, I kind of, at the first, there were times where it would like, I would become really kind of self-conscious about like, oh, they're going to expect Marty Pello and not me. But now I kind of just think, sod it. You get what you're given. You know what I mean? They definitely could have picked worse people a worse singer to sing the songs. You know what I mean? And I suppose that comes with the confidence of like doing The Voice and all those sort of things that make me sort of think now, well, you know what? I might not be Marty Pello, but I'm definitely good enough to sing those songs. You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely. And also going through all the experiences of being in those negative spaces and like deciding, okay, cool, negativity here, let it be there. I'm moving forward and just stepping away from it.
Yeah, I think, you can only do what you can do, and like I say, there is no way unless it was a horrendous gig, there's no way that someone in their right mind who listens to music and appreciates music could go away from one of our concerts and say that was rubbish. Do you know what I mean? They just couldn't. So unless they've got an agenda where they're blinded because they love Marty so much that they just couldn't enjoy it. So I kind of just feel, well, as long as I sing well and give a good performance, then so be it. If people should have enjoyed it. If they didn't enjoy it, then there's just nothing I can do for them. Yeah.
They mustn't come back.
Yeah, just don't bother coming back. Or maybe just, you know, check out the biography of the band and Marty before you turn up at the gig and just maybe be a better fan.
And you know, it's interesting because I love going to concerts, and I'm one of those people that's always standing up front, and I listen to the people around me, and they know the set list, they know the stage, they know exactly where the artist's going to be, where, what, and how. I go without having Googled anything, without having any expectations, without knowing the set list, not knowing what songs are going to be sung. And I'm just enjoying each moment in the moment and experiencing it and having a ball. And then I'm listening to people around me, when are they going to sing this song? When are they going to sing that song? Why haven't they sung that song? Or if they haven't researched the playlist yet. And then you'll hear them at the end, there wasn't such a great show because they didn't sing that song because they had an expectation of that song. It's like, let go of all the expectations. Just be present in the moment, have fun, and enjoy the experience.
Yeah, exactly. And especially now after like the few years we've all been through with the pandemic and everything else, you know, it really is just the time to just enjoy being out there and listening to live music and being in a field with 10,000 other people or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I guess you go back to the social media thing again and all that, you know, people back in the day, you know, people used to just turn up to concerts and just enjoy them. Yep. Whereas now it's kind of about having your phone up and recording it all and doing this and that, you know, which is frustrating.
I'm the only person in the front row that my phone's in my pocket. I'm just there jamming, dancing, doing my thing. And everyone's around me like, well, they're finally trying to get the perfect image or video. And it's like, I'm seeing you in human size, they seeing you through the same size screen as they would be on a TV at home. I'm like, put your freaking cell phones down and just enjoy the concert. It drives me insane. So obviously it frustrates you as well.
Well, it's just frustrating sometimes, you know, to be, I think, I don't know, going a bit deeper into things here. And you know what? I'm going to say I was actually guilty of doing that same thing. When we went to Rome, we went to watch Paolo Nutini because I bought it for my wife, and I did take a couple of videos, but I was literally short and sweet, you know.
Yeah, I mean? But it's not the whole show you filming.
No,
one or two clips, happy days, but not the whole thing.
So I confess, I'm a little bit guilty there. That was bad, but I think as well, a lot of people nowadays, this is where social media is kind of weird a little bit. People will go to places now and they'll do things that they maybe would never have done, because they just want that picture or that to tag into that place or whatever else. And I kind of feel concerts have kind of become that little bit of a thing as well. It's not about just enjoying it, getting wasted, you know, and whatever else, and just letting yourself go for a couple of days. It's now about having loads and loads of pictures of doing all these things that you see all these other people do, and all these videos. And like you say, you can't live a gig through a cell phone, can you? And plus as well, what do you do with all that stuff when you get back? You're just like, oh, right, oh, then you've run out of memory and it's just deleted them all. So I always think it's always better to have the memories up there rather than on like a hard drive somewhere on a phone that you're never going to revisit again.
Music, when you first started out, was CDs, more CDs, cassettes were way before, but CDs, but now it's these digital platforms. CDs, vinyls, and cassettes are coming back to the forefront again, gratefully, because I love me a CD. But what are your thoughts on the digital platforms and the way humans, the strange humans, as we call them, consume music?
I don't know. I mean, obviously it's like super convenient, isn't it, to just go on Spotify and you know, and I do use Spotify a lot. I don't really buy a lot of music these days. So, but I definitely welcome the fact, you know, that these things are coming back, you know, vinyl especially, like, I think is great. I actually got a cassette actually about the Wet album that we did. So we did like vinyls and cassettes all that, and which is like, you know, weird, you know, like to see it after all these years. But like, obviously when I was in Liberty X, we were around the time where you still had cassettes as well. It was CDs, but they did still do cassettes. But no, CDs, I think CDs are great, but they just damage a bit too quickly for me, especially with having kids and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I can't imagine having CDs back in my life. They just get absolutely ruined. But the thing that I really miss about, you know, having like an actual like product in my hand rather than the digital side of it is I used to love just reading like the sleeves, yeah, and stuff, and you know, reading like the dedications and the thank yous and seeing where everything was recorded and who's written what, you know. And I know you can find out certain things online for, you know, writers and stuff, but I love that side of it and the artwork and things like that. Whereas like artwork now, you know, if you buying something digitally, it's just like a tiny little thumbnail, isn't it? Yep. So I feel like there was more artistry and, you know, a more chance to be artistic with things when physical copies were more readily sort of available. But I think it's a good step that, you know, that it's coming back, because it kind of just proves to me that people are a little bit sick of not having that in their lives.
Well, for me, it's always been there, because I still buy my, I've got my Spotify account because I teach spinning classes in the evenings. But what I found is I create these playlists, and I go back into that playlist a couple of weeks, couple of months, a year later, and our songs have gone. It's just disappeared. Whereas I've got the CD, I can always hold it. It's always there. As you said, I open the booklet. I love my, it doesn't get damaged because I'm like, it's like gold. I don't lend it to anyone. It's only in my hands. So so I'm so glad that they're making a comeback and thriving. I mean, if last year was the first year in 21 years that CD sales had increased, which was great news for me. I was like, yes, they're not going anywhere.
Do you know what I think as well, you know, from an artist's point of view as well, I mean, it's great for artists because we kind of live in different times now where you don't have to be signed up to a massive record label to sell your music. And obviously, you know, if you're putting your music on Spotify to your fan base, if you're like a smaller sort of act or whatever, you know, and everyone goes on Spotify and listens to it, you're not making any money from it, you know, or at least not any sort of decent money.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can sell physical copies of your album and stuff, from an artist's point of view, obviously it's better financially as well. So I think that's another good reason for it coming out as well.
Your experience of South Africa, have you been at all? No. When I spoke to Graham, for those guys listening, Graham is the bassist of Wet Wet Wet. I chatted with him last year when I was doing the interviews for that 80s show. And so I said to him, and I'm saying it to you as well, when you guys come through, we're going for drinks.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd love to come to South Africa. I think there was talk of it back in the day when I was in Liberty X, and it didn't quite materialize.
Okay.
My sister, she's her husband, her parents are from South Africa.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Jessica from Liberty X. She's got a place in South Africa, I think, because she's married to Kevin Peterson, so the cricket player.
Okay.
So they've got like some place in like a wildlife reserve out there.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. Yeah. So, that would be fantastic. If we get to get over there, I'd love to do that. That would be brilliant.
Not if, when.
Yes, let's make it happen.
Yes. And are you recording, are you going to be recording another new album anytime? Are you guys working on new music?
Hopefully. I mean, at the moment, we're not doing anything because we're just busy gigging and stuff. But I think, obviously, getting to like next year when everything's calmed down a little bit, probably look at writing some new tunes. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I can't remember when we finished the last one. I mean, it was kind of like November last year, I think, or something like that. So it's kind of like with anything, it's kind of difficult. I mean, Graham's like, I'm sure he's probably been writing and doing stuff because, you know, that's his children have left the nest. Well, should I say his son? You know, he's a man now, so he's kind of got time on his hands, whereas I haven't got that much time on my hands. But yeah, we'll definitely be doing some more new stuff in the future.
Cool. Now I'm going to be putting you on the spot. I'm asking you, top of mind, no overthinking, your top five favorite songs by other artists.
God. Okay, I go for Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
I'd probably say Mr. Blue Sky, ELO. Oh, it's a real tough question, that.
You've only got three more.
Hotel California by the Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have missed like some out here, that's for sure.
That's okay. That's a point of the game. Just top of mind, top of mind. The first things that come to your head.
It's really tough.
We got two more.
Two more. A Champagne Supernova by Oasis.
Okay.
And one more, let's think. One more. No, this really is tough. But you didn't expect it to take this long. Do people normally reel these off real quick?
Yeah, no, actually not. No. It's a hard question. That's why I like it playing really this
game. Then I'd probably go for While My Guitar Gently Weeps by the Beatles.
Wow. Brilliant songs. Our podcast is listened to throughout the world. Final message to our listening audience.
I guess I'd just say, you know, I hope everyone's well after the last sort of couple of years that we've all had. Enjoying music, enjoying just kind of having some sort of normality. Mm-hmm. I am aware that, like, you know, different countries are still in different phases, like, around the world, you know, but we're pretty fortunate here that life is kind of pretty much back to normal mm-hmm. to a certain extent. So I just hope that, yeah, everyone's keeping well, enjoying music. And yeah, just enjoying life.
Love it. This is Barrett Edelstein, Slevsvant, with Kevin Sim. Kevin, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. Signing out. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Cheers.
Bye.